Well, good evening. Welcome once again to Rich, what are we again?
I'm not entirely sure.
Sorry, folks. I didn't mean to stare at all you. Yes, welcome back to Voice of Reason Radio. Yes, we actually know who we are, but it has been a little while. God has interesting plans, and once somebody said, if you ever wanted to see God laugh, tell him your plans. So our intent had been to be back a couple weeks ago, but by the way, it is March 29th, 2019. It is just a couple of days before the most famous atheist high holiday of all, April 1st, also known as April Fool's Day, because the Bible does say, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, so that is your day, folks. So we are just coming up on the end of March. We have just entered into spring as of last week, and we are way outside our intended time of returning. I was supposed to come back with Rich following the Shepherd's Conference, which was about a month ago almost now. And
I'll say this, we still managed to have two shows within the technical month of March. So,
hey, I like that idea. I like that. Because, yes, it was, I was taking notes at Shepherd's Conference as of March 5th. So we did record just before that, and then everything kind of went sideways. So thank you and welcome again to Voice of Reason Radio. We will give you a rundown on the events that have occurred since the last time we were together with you. We thank you for your patience. It was not at all intended for us to be gone this long, and we were talking in pre-show. We're going to try to find ways to be a bit more consistent because we appreciate you guys. And honestly, I got to meet some of you folks at Shepherd's Conference, and I can't begin to say how humbling it was for some of you to tell me how much you love Rich and I on the show. That stunned me.
Before you get into ShepCon,
yes,
we got some housekeeping to take care of.
Okay, what housekeeping have we got to do?
First, I'm just going to let folks know you're probably not going to hear a lot from me tonight because I'm on day 9 of the flu, and if I talk much, I go to coughing, and the last thing I want to do is blow out anybody's speakers or rupture an eardrum. But you said you posted something earlier today. And if this is all I say this entire show, get it out.
What did I post now?
What time capsule are you living in, brother, to use the phrase "da bomb digging"? I'm not taking away your mail card. I'm ripping it up. I'm throwing it in the garbage and setting it on fire. I mean, even in that time capsule, "da bomb diggity," really? Reminded me of that one of those old movies with the little teeny bopper teenage girls doing the cheerleading or the movie Clueless or something. But the bomb diggity, I mean, really, brother, come on.
I'm sorry, I'm blaming Todd Friel on that one. He brought it back and it got stuck in my head. Okay, full stop. Let's get some explanation here. I had one of the best fast food hamburgers. Okay, so fast food, this is not high watermark stuff, it's fast food hamburger, but it was one of the best ones I'd had because we went to Sonic for lunch. We had to run some errands in town today, ran over to Sonic. I was craving a lime slushy. I really, by the way, Sonic, if any of you are listening, you need the dill pickle slushy back. I'm dying over here. I want the dill pickle slush back. Anyway, so I wanted a lime slush. We went there, got lunch, and they had this bigger brunch burger, which is a quarter pound patty of meat, a fried egg, and bacon and tomato with mayo. I mean, this thing was awesome. So I shared it, and I almost said da bomb, and then I realized saying that might get me a visit with Homeland Security. So I used this phrase from Todd Friel, da bomb diggity. So that's where that comes from. So I'm blaming Todd Friel, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And yes, poor Rich is, it'll almost be enjoyable tonight because I won't get harassed so much, but... But yes, poor Rich is, you should have heard the cough he sent me via text message. Folks, I don't think a dying seal sounded as bad as Rich did that day. And that was it, before it really got bad. So if you are a prayer warrior, please be praying for our poor brother Rich, who is just miserable right now. And there are some of you who, per our request, sent us some suggestions for Rich to get better. But you're going to have to wait to the end of the show to find out which one he's got picked. So,
also, I have to say, my family and my extended family owe me reparations. They've all good, but I'm the only one that ended up with full-blown flu and fever and hallucinations and hearing colors and tasting sounds and all this great stuff.
Okay, not because I want to drop the name, but because I got to tag him. Daryl, I know you're listening right now because you told me you listened to the show. You and now Virgil now have to talk about how do we deal with reparations for family members who make you sick, because that would be a really interesting show to listen to. And Rich is demanding reparations, so you guys got to get on that one. So, oh my goodness! But yes, folks, be praying for poor Rich. He's in rough shape. If you can't hear it right now, his voice is much quieter. And it is much deeper than usual. So, and that's because he's trying desperately not to have a barking seal attack. So be praying for him, and let's hope that the Lord delivers him from this nastiness of this flu. So, all right.
I've got my finger on the mute button, and it's ready for action. So if I feel one of those whack attacks coming on, I'm going to do my best to mute my voice before I blow out somebody's subwoofer.
Well, now, okay, now that I think about it, your wife has suggested that when you and I talk on the radio, somehow one or the other, if one gets sick, the other follows. Now, if I get the flu, I'm demanding reparations from your family. So, so if you pass this to me through the airwaves, I'm going to demand from them. So now, Daryl, you really got a fun one to play with.
You say that in jest, but over the last 2 years, it seems like one of us will experience something and the other one will experience. And it can be some of the most off-the-wall, crazy occurrences in our lives, but it's like one of us is going to mirror the other, whether it's a house halfway flooded from a leaky something or another, or or getting sick, or even in more of a sad situation, you know, family matters when it comes to health and whatnot, and which was one of the reasons that we're not able to record.
Yeah, it's for two guys who have never met face to face, we mirror each other really scarily. Like, it's like Twilight Zone kind of stuff. So, and the good stuff with Rod Serling, not this new garbage they're getting ready to put on the air. So, talking about the real Twilight Zone. But yeah, the fact that you mentioned that, Rich, let's give everybody kind of a rundown on what happened. So, obviously the week we were not going to record, I was at Shepherd's Conference. Thank you to Andrew Rappaport. I'm going to be nice to you tonight, Andrew, despite your constant harassment of me. He was kind enough to get me there or get me into the conference. Thank you to Pastor Gene Clyatt out of Superior, Montana, who took me down there. He detoured a little bit through Nevada as he drove through and picked me up. And thank you to Fred Butler, who works for Grace to You and is friends with Gene Clyatt, who gave me a place to sleep. His family is amazing. And we got the pink suite, and I'm not joking when I say pink. The girls in Fred's family were kind enough to give up their room with the two beds, and it was a lot of pink. It was a lot of pink. But so that week, and it's one of the things we're going to talk about tonight, is Shepherd's Conference, now 3 weeks removed. But that was supposed to be the only week we were going to be gone. The unfortunate thing is that literally the day before Gene was going to come down and pick me up, we got some very tragic news. And that an extended member of my family, or my wife's family, or actually her direct family, her father, is very ill. He's currently still with us in this world, but he has cancer, and it's not good. And so we almost had to cancel that trip based on what we knew was going on, and go down and visit him. Well, I don't know if God just really wanted me to be at that, or it was just circumstances that, you know, all according to God's plan anyway. But we ended up not canceling. I went because we were under the impression that it was maybe not as bad as we thought. And then we came back, and Gene got home safely, and I got home to be home with my family. And well, that week, as Rich and I are talking about planning for, talking about the Shepherd's Conference as our topic, we get the news that it is actually as bad as we had feared. And he is in bad shape. So if you are, again, inclined to pray, please pray for my wife's father. And I won't go into the details on air. Some of you follow us on Twitter and Facebook. You know the circumstances. Just please be praying for him. And Rich, I'm not going to bring your family's stuff into this, but you guys.
Well, I can.
Okay, go right ahead.
It's a family member that's always been like a sister to my wife. She fought and won a battle against cancer about a decade ago. And then out of nowhere, she started getting sick, and she ended up in the hospital about the time you returned from Shepherd's Conference, and was in really bad shape that week leading up to when we were going to discuss your trip to Shepherd's Conference. And that same weekend that you had to go out of town, well, she passed away, and my family was dealing with her death and with trying to comfort and help, you know, one another. So, you know, it's strange in the fact that we both were,
yeah,
both our families were facing a life or death situation along those same,
yeah,
along the same timeline.
Yeah, it's like I said, God is very interesting in how he does things sometimes. And Rich, maybe it's because you and I think and act an awful lot alike, and maybe he just uses the same things to keep us humble. I don't know, but so be praying for Rich's family. Obviously, they've had a loss, and it's one that can kick you in the gut when you lose someone you care about like that. So obviously, that was the second week that we couldn't record. So we got back from our trip, and my dear wife remained in Arizona for an extended period of time, just to spend more time with her father. I got to play single dad while I was working and coming home and making sure the kids were doing everything they were supposed to. But we were still going to plan for this for last week. And then Rich basically had an alien invasion of the worst viral kind you could imagine. And he's barely just starting to come out of recovery from that. And so that killed last week's program.
Literally, I woke up last Thursday morning sick as a dog. I mean, head sneezing, coughing, congested. And I mean, I was completely fine when I went to bed Wednesday night, and I woke up with it out of the blue. And by Thursday night, I was running fever. And I think, I don't remember if it was Thursday or Friday morning, I just went ahead and told you there ain't no way.
Yeah.
That I won't be able to record, because as bad as I sound now, this is like a huge improvement.
Yeah.
And I know you teased out a little bit about the little contest that you ran at my expense, which is fine, because I really enjoyed it, and getting some laughter during the course of that helped. That tends to be one of my self-defense mechanisms, is laughter when it comes to my own self and things that I go through in my body and whatnot. But some of those responses were pretty wild and pretty out there. I know that you automatically disqualified one person.
Oh, yes. Right off
the get-go.
In a heartbeat. I'm sorry. You know what? And I'm going to call him out. Anonymu, you post peanut butter and jelly and chicken soup again, and you ain't going to just be barred from winning a contest. I may just block you. That's culinary heresy. That man has no taste buds. There's no possible way his tongue functions properly if he thinks dunking his PB&J into chicken soup is a good idea. So, yes, if you send that to me again, you are barred for, like, life, dude.
Well, I have improved to just feeling bad and exhausted. So I'm slowly but surely, it's like each day I'm one small snail step closer to being over this stuff. And what I don't understand, my wife is extremely protective and paranoid anyway, trying to keep me from getting sick, especially when it comes to something with a lot of coughing or sneezing, because it does not cooperate well with the busted up and fractured bone fragments I have up and down my spinal cord, because you can just imagine you go to sneezing and coughing hard and it's like little ball peen hammers on that. So, you know, goes to extra efforts during cold and flu season to keep the house disinfected and, you know, do all these preparations. And I made it the entire winter. You know, people in my family have been sick off and on and everything else. And, you know, I'm thinking, well, it's spring, flu season's over, I should be fine. And I honestly think I caught this from my last doctor's visit. I think going to the doctor is what made me sick.
You know, there's something about hospitals and doctor's offices that, you know, they're just full of sick people and germs. So it would not surprise me in the least. It would not. So, brother, well, we're grateful that you are on the mend. We recognize you may not be contributing as much this week, but I'm just grateful to hear your voice again. it's been a long month, and it's in some ways very, very much a blessing, and in some ways very, very trying. But folks, as Rich said, yeah, we actually had a little hashtag get well rich contest, because I brought back some extra books from ShepCon. Just a few extra books. I've got a whole bookshelf dedicated to it now. But a couple of the books, you know, God is very funny in that sometimes he likes to bless you with extra books. And we ended up with two extra books because of the generosity of the Shepherd's Conference. Because when you, and folks, you really need to send your pastor to Shepherd's Conference. I'm not kidding. One of the things that you walk away with is a big box of books that are the giveaway books for just attending the conference. So two of the books that I was blessed with that I get to share with a couple people tonight are, one is Ashamed of the Gospel. It's the third edition by John MacArthur, subtitle When the Church Becomes Like the World. And another fantastic book, J.C. Ryle's Holiness, It's Nature, Hindrances, Difficulties, and Roots, which has a foreword by Pastor John MacArthur. So, again, you guys are going to have to wait till the end of the show to figure out who's winning them. So, I'm not going to tell you right now. You guys are going to have to wait. But just by way of an aside, some of y'all need to follow instructions. here was the game. The game was that y'all had to come up with your best or worst remedy to get Rich better. You had to tag Voice of Reason Radio, and you had to put the hashtag GetWellRich. Some of you don't follow instructions. Some of you just started responding. So if we did not see you, your answer, it's because you didn't tag Voice of Reason Radio and you didn't put a hashtag. Or some of you just hit retweet. We weren't retweeting. So it was not a retweet contest. So some of y'all need to learn how to follow instructions if you want to enter a contest. Just saying. So, but I ended up with a big old stack of books, and I'll talk about that for as part of tonight's program. But, Rich, any thoughts before you can kind of basically mute yourself before you go into a talking or a coughing fit before we go further?
Well, leading up to what was supposed to be our return show from ShepCon, but I don't remember if it was but the question was put out, anyone have any questions for Chris in regards to ShepCon? And one that I did see there, if I missed seeing your question, I do apologize, but Matthew Tuck sent in a question, and he wanted to know, which general session did you personally find most edifying? That is question one for you in regards to ShepCon. I myself have my own question for you, and it was something I saw you post. And all the years that I've followed ShepCon, I don't remember anyone ever mentioning before, but I want to know what the deal is with the overflow room, because personally, I was able to go to ShepCon and ended up in the overflow room. I don't know. I honestly have to say I might be a bit upset, so I kind of would like for you to elaborate on that just a little bit.
I will do that. And actually, I have a really good answer for that. I didn't think I kind of thought the same way you did until I got there. All right. So to give a quick overview, what is Shepherd's Conference? Shepherd's Conference is a conference put on by Grace Community Church, which is like for them the highlight of the year. They minister to. In this case, Rich, there were 4,500 plus men from 67 different countries. This is what we were told at the beginning of the conference. The conference is specifically, and you heard me say right, I said men. There's a reason for that. It is specifically geared towards equipping, encouraging, and edifying pastors, elders, etc., so that when they leave that conference and they go back to the churches that they minister to, they have been taught and equipped and encouraged and are loaded up with resources so they can go back and do the work of God. So now some of our egalitarian friends who might have stumbled onto us by accident are already snarling and chomping at the bit, because how dare you suggest only men can do that? Well, that's what the Bible says. I'm not suggesting it, so you take it up with God's word, not with me. If you want to email me, I'm not going to argue with you. Sorry, just not going to do that today. But it was specifically for those men to go and be equipped. And if you listen to Andrew Rappaport's show, Andrew, see, I'm still being nice, which is supposed to, it comes out every Sunday, I believe. He's already aired two interviews, one with Daryl Harrison and, I greatly apologize. There was another gentleman he interviewed, and the name escapes me at the moment. While they were there, he interviewed. So he did a lot of interviews, and you can expect that there are going to be several of those aired on his podcast program, Rap Report, R-A-P-P Report. And you can tune in and hear that. Daryl Harrison from over at Just Thinking, he was there. He works for Grace TU now as their Dean of Social Media. Got to meet him. Wonderful man. Wonderful man. And so he got to interview these people, and I'm still not quite sure why, but he interviewed me. So, but he asked me what my thoughts were about that. It was probably the second day we were there. And the big thing that I kept thinking about the whole time I was there was, here was 4,500 men of God coming here for a specific reason. Not just because there's going to be some fanboying going on. Definitely. And some people come because they want to hear the big guys talk, but most every man there was there because they wanted to be fed. They want, and I'm not just talking about the food they give you, by the way. Good. Oh my goodness, there's a whole other topic for another show. But they were being fed the word of God, and they were being equipped by godly men, and just what a fantastic experience. And pardon me, for me it was a taste of what Elijah must have been like, you know, because we all get that moment where we feel like there's nobody left. I'm the only one. And you can almost kind of picture standing before God going, I'm not the only one left, God. Nobody else follows you anymore. And God says to him, I've got 7,000. I haven't bowed the knee to Baal. You walk onto that campus, 4,500 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. They are not there because this is a mega conference on how to build mega churches and how to be seeker friendly and rock star and all that stuff. That was what it was like. It was to me like a taste of heaven, that fellowship that you cannot get anywhere else. I mean, when the people of God come together, we have sweet fellowship. But when you get to meet people from around the country and around the world, who are there to be equipped to do the work of God, I mean, there was just nothing like it I've ever seen. This is a pastor's Disneyland. I'm telling you, what an amazing experience. So if you have a pastor who's never had the opportunity, folks, I encourage you, find a way in your church to get him to be able to go to that, even once. He will walk away with more resources, more encouragement, more teaching than he can get in anywhere else in a 3 to 4 day period. And he will walk away, I think, be walking on cloud nine. Fantastic. Cannot recommend it enough. So what that's what Shepherd's Conference is. In this case, this year it was a 4 day run. And the topic, the overall arching theme of Shepherd's Conference was faithfulness. So what an amazing topic. This isn't about church building. This isn't about growing. This isn't about rock stardom. It's about being faithful. Every message taught was on faithfulness in some capacity. And it was faithfulness and evangelism. Oh my goodness. For you people who are, you know, that God has just burdened you for the lost, listen to Mike Riccardi's message on evangelism. That man is a powerful preacher. Amazing. You had Vody Balcom talking about faithfulness and persecution. Amazing topic, amazing message. To answer Matthew Tuck's question, the two—I have to say there are actually two messages that spoke deeply to me while I was there. The first was the opening sermon done by Pastor John MacArthur himself on faithful to serve, and we're going to put in the show notes, by the way, the link to the Shepherd's Conference media area where you can find the audios and videos and listen to this. If you are a person who does like iTunes, you can actually go and find the Shepherd's Conference podcast, and it has all of the messages that you can just tap and listen as you go on your iPhone or iDevice or whatever type you're using. Huh?
I'll interrupt just for a moment.
Go ahead.
I'm going back to the mute button, but needless to say, there was absolutely no bumper sticker theology going on during
not
this conference.
Not a bit. And that's one we've promised people we were going to do a part two on that. We really should go back to that. No, there was nothing that you was shallow about any of the teaching that was going on. Not a bit of it. It was deep. It was a deep dive into a topic on faithfulness because of persecution, because of evangelism, in your personal walk, all of these things. I mean, let me read some of these to you. Faithful to Love, Austin Duncan, great message. Faithful to Disciple by Mark Dever. Faithful in the Midst of Persecution, Vody Balcom. Faithful in the Home, Tom Pennington. That was the second one. I'll talk about why in a minute. Faithful to Worship, Ligon Duncan's message. Faithfulness to Pray. Faithful in Dealing. That one's cut off. I can't remember the title. Faithfulness in Culture. Al Mohler did that one. Faithful to Evangelize, Mike Riccardi's message. Faithful to the End, John MacArthur's closing session. just amazing, amazing topics. There was nothing bumper sticker theology about this. And I can tell you that there were, you can hear the cringe factor from the truth growth experts who would have seen this and gone, no, this will chase people out. No, this is equipping, and this will build, and this will strengthen. So an amazing conference, 4 days, day in and day out, of just the most sound teaching you can imagine. And you had like 3 or 4 main sessions, and then at lunchtime you had lunch sessions, which were breakouts where you would have things like teaching on Pastor Scholar or 10 reasons why sermons fail, Sure Defense, Young Restless Transformed, not Young Restless Reformed, the second day they were talking about certain Puritans or past preachers, people like Robert Murray McShane, John Bunyan, William Arthur Phillips, a missionary, Charles Spurgeon, Richard Sibbs. I mean, these were deep teachings. They even had things on. I mean, this one that was done by Phil Johnson and Han Cho, I got to sit in on. And boy, if you ever want to feel like, why on earth am I sitting in on this? Because it's because the guys I'm with are elders and I'm not even close. That was me in this particular one. They were talking about, how do you deal with certain issues as an elder? How do you deal with, you know, people who disappear from the church? How do you follow up? And I mean, it was this Q&A back and forth with elders. How do you deal with this issue? How do you deal with that issue? And this was during a lunch session, and that room was packed with people wanting to know how to deal with these issues.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Were in the course of that, were any of their solutions to send out a customer feedback survey to those that were no longer in the attending church?
I think if anybody had mentioned that, Phil Johnson would have thrown them out a window.
Has seen any of my Twitter postings, it was something that came up a couple of weeks ago, but this was something I had actually found from the church growth gurus. That in essence, in no other way to put it, it was nothing more than a customer feedback survey to be sent out to your church members and to visitors and to those that were no longer in attendance. So needless to say, Phil Johnson was not promoting something along those lines.
No, they actually will. You know, when you go to Grace Community Church, and they were using from their experience how they deal with it. Now, mind you, Grace is a bigger church than probably most, but they have a staff of elders, and it's like, okay, well, we're looking at our attendance cards, and we're realizing a certain family's not been around for a while. Does anybody who among the elders here knows these people personally? Okay, you guys do. Please follow up with them. Let's find out what's going on with them. I mean, they're genuinely concerned. It's not like why aren't you here? Like, is there a reason? Is something going on? Has something happened? Is it a sin issue? Is it a family emergency we don't know about? You know, and maybe it's just because a John Doe family, you know, the job change took them out of the area, and now they're attending elsewhere. Okay, great. Now at least we know what happened. So, I mean, and it's not like, you know, oh, well, what could we have done better? It's a genuine concern about the family. You know, genuine concern for the people that are there at their church. And let me just clarify something about Grace Community Church. What I saw amazed me. Let me explain it this way. When I went to the Ambassadors Academy, it was an evangelism academy in California run by Ray Comfort, and I realized what Living Waters was. It was this tiny building that they maximized every ounce of space for the specific purpose of getting materials and resources out to equip Christians to evangelize. I'm like, I'm impressed, because you know there was money coming in and out of there for purchases of books and gospel tracts and stuff. And there was nothing ostentatious about that building, nothing. If you ever watch a live stream or a pre-recorded episode, so to speak, on TV of Grace Community Church for the the sermons, you see that main worship center. What you see in that room is as ostentatious as it gets. What kind of falls out of camera view, just because of the where the cameras are, which are bolted to the floor. These are not, you know, these are nice. You know, it's the equipment they have is good, but it's not like, you know, cameras that disappear into the ceiling and stuff like that. The rest of the walls that you can't see, they're cinder block walls. They are gray cinder block walls. I'm not kidding. The pews are pews. They are padded pews. They're comfortable. They have carpeted flooring. It is not fancy. It is not Joel Osteen, you know, basketball center turned into crazy auditorium for whatever show he's putting on. The campus is not huge. They have the original chapel where John MacArthur started pastoring 50 years ago. There is the worship center, which is basically a room that, you know, it's like a sanctuary to a church. That's a separate building. Attached to that are the offices for the elders and for the choir and stuff like that. And I got a chance to look at some of that, because Gene Clyatt, you know everybody at Grace Community Church. I think, according to Phil Johnson, Gene Clyatt knows more people than Phil does, and Phil works for them. So that's, I'm learning. Then you have the Master Seminary, which is a single building, which is where the library and the offices of the professors are. And then you have a building that is the classrooms, which is about four stories, which has the overflow, which you talked about. And then there's the Grace Life Room, which looks like a big gymnasium type building that's carpeted, has plastic chairs, has a stage. And that is kind of like their Sunday school. But when I say Sunday school, I'm not talking kiddie, paint by numbers, pizza party things. This is where you go and you actually have an additional class in addition to your main service worship. This is Mike Riccardi and Phil Johnson teaching you in addition to what you get with the main service. That's Grace Community Church.
So you mean they don't have a Church Mall of America like you pictured with Joel Osteen and some of these other, growth mega churches that, have coffee bars and sandwich shops and gift shop centers and.
No, it is everything that they use is like up to date equipment so that stuff runs well, but it is not ostentatious in any way. It is a very humble campus. It is bigger than most churches will ever get to, because most churches, I think you and I talked about, was like 200 is, and sometimes even smaller, like 50. Or if you're like Gene Clyatt, who is a prominent pastor in the microchurch movement, you have like single digits right now up in Superior, Montana. That's not a joke. Gene will actually confirm that for me. This the discussion we had. So it's obviously a bigger campus than most churches will see, but they're not making a massive campus for the purpose of drawing people in. It is as basic as you can get, and yet still having the modern necessities to function. It's a great experience to actually realize, go into a place like that and realize, oh wow, this is not what I was picturing. Their parking lots are like, there's one parking lot on the campus, and then there are like two parking lots across the streets, because they had to get, put parking lots in different areas just to be able to have space for people to park and get to the church. So it is not oversold. It is not overdone. It's not overblown. They use their money wisely, and they do it for the specific purpose of ministering to the body of Christ. And so, like I said, this Shepherd's Conference is a big deal for them. It is them serving. I'm telling you, I met people who took vacation time. They are members of the church, took vacation time to serve. They're not getting paid. They're serving. Okay? These are people who are volunteering, coming in on their own time to serve these pastors and elders. This is what genuine Christian service looks like. So, but anyway, I got off topic. I apologize. So, John MacArthur's message on faithful to serve, there was a portion of that, if you listen, he's talking about out of 1 Corinthians 4, when Paul refers to what they are as people who minister the gospel, he refers to himself as a servant. And John MacArthur talks about the Greek term for servant there is basically what it is, if you want to picture it, is the third level galley slave of a rowing ship. In other words, there's three levels of rowing, and the servant on the bottom row, like beneath at the water line, that's the term for servant. It is third level galley slave is how he put it. That's the servant, the name that Paul used for them as servants of God. And if you have any presupposition that as a preacher, as an elder, as somebody who does anything in any kind of teaching or leadership, that you're something special, that kicked your legs right out from under you. And that was awesome. Because it makes you realize the whole point of that sermon was this idea of being humble, being faithful, that the ministry is in the proclamation of the Word of God. It has nothing to do with the people doing the ministry. And I thought, what a fantastic way to start 4 days of teaching. Set the right tone. Guess what, guys? All 4,500 of you here are third-level galley slaves. That's what we are. And I thought, man, that was so needed in a day and age when it's all about promoting self.
It kind of puts a new perspective, and which I know that his analogy about the third level slave may paint a somewhat more clear picture, but for me, you still go back to the thought of Jesus washing the feet of the couples, because in today's age, it's hard to completely understand just what a nasty, filthy, humbling, lowly job that actually was.
Yeah, it's when you realize that's how Christ tells us to lead, to follow him, to be the type of person he was. That takes any possibility of pride and throws it right out the window. If you do anything in ministry, in service to the Lord, and you think it's about you, you got the wrong attitude. You got to repent. And I would encourage every pastor, every elder, every person in a position of being a deacon, any teacher, blogger, podcaster, you got to listen to that sermon. Because if you are trying to serve the Lord through the ministry of the word, you are a third level galley slave. You are like Christ, who got down on his knees and washed the dirty, stinky feet of the apostles. That's what that ministry is. And if you think there's something special about you, you got it backwards. You're so backwards. And so that was the first one. The second one was General Session 6 by Tom Pennington, Faithful in the Home. I don't know how to emphasize how important that message was to every person there who, when you're ministering week in and week out, and you're running maybe you're doing a speaking engagement, maybe you're writing a book, or maybe it's all the counseling, maybe it's the sermon writing, maybe it's dealing with the the deacons and elder boards and all this stuff. Pennington knocked it out of the park. Our first ministry is our home. It's our wives. And so, he talked about, we need to love our wives. He said there were three points that he covered. Love's calling, love's primary example, and love's goals. And he started off with the primary calling. He says, love your wives. He spends 9 verses in this Ephesians 5 telling exactly what our men's jobs are after telling wives to submit. So he tells, we as husbands, we kind of like to go, well, you're supposed to submit. That's what Paul says in Ephesians. Yeah, and then he turns around and spends 9 verses telling us as men how to love our wives. And he cites examples of great men of the faith that we love dearly, but terrible in this area. Just exposes the fact that they were terrible husbands, that they did not love their wives and minister to their wives the way they should. And, we need to be real about our heroes of the faith. We're grateful for the work they did, but we can't ignore the fact that when they failed in something so absolutely essential, that's something that we need to learn from as well. And he talks about love's primary expressions. He says there are, things that we must do, that our love must be sacrificial, that our love must be sanctifying to our wives, that we need to be nourishing in our love, meeting their needs, and that we must cherish them in our love, tenderly caring for them, not neglecting them for our own desires. So, it was so amazing to hear that. Because so many of these conferences, pardon me, see, Rich is already affecting me. I've got this gluck going on in my throat now. So now I'm coughing. So Rich, see, I'm going to start demanding reparations. But it was such an amazing sermon because it reminded us that the first ministry is the home. If you're not taking care of your home, you probably shouldn't be out there doing the work. And that doesn't mean that home needs to be perfect by any means. This is just me talking, not Tom Pennington. It doesn't mean that our home's going to be perfect by any means. We're going to have family struggles. But we're ministering to them in those struggles. And so, Rich, to answer Matthew Tuck's question, there were two sermons that were powerful, absolutely powerful. And because people may ask, because there was a bit of controversy, yes, I was present when the Q&A happened with Mark Dever, Ligon Duncan, and Al Mohler, and the question of the social justice issue came up. There are people who have answered it far better than me. So I'm just going to say this. I think every man up there is a man of God. I think every man up there is a brother in Christ. I think there were three men who were given an opportunity to present what they actually believe, and I think there was some serious tap dancing going on to avoid that. To go beyond that is going to be for me to speculate, because obviously I don't know these men. I have my own opinions, and I can certainly talk to people one-on-one, and did talk to a lot of people one-on-one about that. I'm not going to speculate on them here. So just know that I think there was a very big missed opportunity, and I think it was to avoid actually committing to an answer for whatever their personal reasons were. If you want to hear some good analysis of that, Dr. James White on Dividing Line talked about it, and he played segments of that. And I think it was also Todd Friel on Wretched Radio who talked about it. And I heard a clip of Todd's. I didn't hear the whole show. I did listen to James White. I recommend those. You know, I'm not going to get into that because that's not my place. If you want to know what was said, I was very pleasantly surprised today to see that video and audio is up. You can download it and listen to it. You can watch it and stream it. They do have it on there. There was a lot of speculation as to why was it going to be shared, because it disappeared off the live stream on Facebook very quickly. And people who had recorded it via whatever mechanisms that they use on the computer to record live videos. Don't ask me how to do that. I don't know. but they had uploaded it to YouTube. Those got pulled down because of copyright reasons. So that's what it boils down to. It's a copyright reason. It doesn't belong to them. It belongs to Grace to You. And Grace to You said, hey, take it off until, you know, because Grace to You had plans as to what they were going to do and what they were going to share. It's up. You can watch it for yourself. You can make your own decisions. Some people said that, well, that never would have happened if they hadn't invited three men who are playing footsies with the social justice crowd. I think John MacArthur gave a really good reason why he still was willing to do that. I think Phil Johnson did a great job asking the questions, being consistent, and trying to obtain an answer. And I think he's talked to Todd on his Too Wretched for Radio program that they do once a week. I think for well over a year now, Phil's done a fantastic job saying, hey, we're disagreeing on a big issue here, but we need to work through this, not expect instantaneous results. And I think that's a proper answer to that. So just to kind of put that out of the way, because I know people were like, well, you were there. What happened? That's the answer you're going to get from me on the show. Okay. It was a missed opportunity. I think they should have answered the question. They didn't. I do not believe that any of these men are not brothers in Christ because of where they stand or what they seem to be standing in. I think they're wrong. At least two of them for sure are wrong. I think Al Mohler is much closer to the being disconnected from social justice than the three others were. I just think because of his position in the SBC, he didn't want to answer the question, because the SBC, as we've talked about, is a very strange animal. So that's my answer to that. I'm not gonna spend a lot of time talking about it. As far as the rest of Shepherd's Conference went, I mean, you got all that fantastic teaching, and then, like I said, they give you I think there was 12 books, Rich, that I walked away with. There was two books that they handed me as I walked in. One was the actual booklet that had like the week's worth of stuff, and then another was one written by Pastor MacArthur, and I'm trying to find it on my shelf here.
Just to let you know, I haven't sleep. I'm still sitting here in a meat corner, but if time and money had been unlimited, would you have not left with that entire book tent?
oh my goodness, the book tent. Okay, so they give you all these books. Then when you register, they give you an envelope. In the envelope are two $25 gift certificates. You walk into the book tent, and that's you can hear the angelic choir, okay? And there was no speakers in there. So I don't know where it came from, but I could hear an angelic choir. You walk in, and there was a sea of books. And it's not like walking into Lifeway. And it's like, oh, the good books are shoved in a corner in the back that they don't want to acknowledge. Every book on every table is a solid biblical book. It was like heaven. And I'll tell you something. As impressive as that book tent was, there was only one place that was slightly better. And that was getting to walk into Phil Johnson's office at Grace to You. And I, by the way, Phil Johnson did threaten to check my luggage after he saw the picture I posted. So I almost got a TSA shakedown.
I was envious of you getting to sit in the recording studio.
Ugh.
But you should have left Phil some secret hidden note somewhere stashed around his office while you were in there.
You know, I could not do that because I would be too nervous to get discovered. I'm pretty sure Gene Clyatt probably has, and it probably does every time he's there. So, but we got to have a tour of the Grace to You office, which is about 20 miles away. It's actually not on the campus. It's its own building, and Fred Butler, who's an amazing man, to have put up with somebody he's never met except on Twitter and let him into his home, gave me the tour of Grace to You. What a neat outfit that is.
He's a really brave man.
Anybody that lets me into their home and has no idea who I am, I mean, you guys, you got guts. And Fred was great. But he gave us the grand tour, and I walked into Phil Johnson's office. Again, I'm sure that there was an angelic choir, and things lit up, and it was just this, you know, bright, shining moment. Phil Johnson's office, starting at the door opens and covers part of it because that's the heresy section. Starting at the door, all the way down to the window, to one wall, to the window, at the edge of the window on the other side, picks up again, wraps around the third wall, and hits the fourth wall, comes to back to the door. Every wall is a bookshelf covered in books. It was heaven. It was heaven. And so I took a panorama picture of it, because there's just no possible way to describe what you saw. And then I shared it online. And the only thing Phil Johnson responds to is, oh, I'm sorry, I left it a little messy. And I'm like, what do you mean messy? I was in heaven. And then the next day I got to meet Phil because, again, Gene Clyatt knows everybody, including Phil Johnson. And so Phil, you know, I get to meet him. I introduce myself, shake my hand. He looks at Gene and he tells him, I need to check his luggage before you guys leave. So I got the shakedown from Phil Johnson. I was ecstatic. So, but okay, back to the book tent. The book tent is
a little nervous. The fact that he was watching you so closely to know that you needed to be checked.
Well, I tagged him in the tweet. Now, Phil Johnson rarely interacts with me because I'm nobody from nowhere. He's only now met me the one time, but I've had an occasional interaction with him. So the name obviously, you know, stuck out to him. And when I was posting the pictures of his office, it got his attention. So that's how I ended up getting on his radar. And no, Mr. Johnson, I didn't touch a single book. I just took pictures and drooled a lot. So if there was a mess, I apologize. Sorry. So getting back to the Grace Community Church Shepcon book tent, the most amazing Disneyland experience ever. Every book is discounted, like almost as much as 50% off. So books that if you actually went into a Lifeway bookstore and managed to find a good book. By the way, Lifeway shutting down. Not the worst thing in the world, but please remember a lot of people are going to lose jobs as a result of this. So pray for that. But if you walked into a Lifeway-esque type of bookstore, or you walked into a Barnes & Noble and you stumbled into a good book, these would run you $20, $25, $30, $40, depending on the type of book. And you're getting discounts as much as 50% off. And you've been given $50, by the way, to just go and pick up whatever you want. So I had that spent in 5 minutes. It took me about an hour of wandering the book tent to spend it in 5 minutes because I was drooling over everything. But and then I spent much more because my wife is kind and loving and generous and sent me with money and she let me buy books. So I walked away with just tons of books I would have not thought to pick up anywhere. I mean, I'm looking some of them now. I picked up Christ from the Beginning to End. I got Trinitarian Theology, The Question of Canada by Michael Kruger. I've been told excellent book, need to read that. Theophany by Vern Poitras. A thick book that I'm looking at right now, talking about Christ's pre-incarnate appearances. Gospel-centered hermeneutics, because you need to know how it all connects. A book that I've been told my wife will be grateful that I read called Disciplines of a Godly Man. I mean, none greater, talking about the attributes of God. I mean, just what's this other one? The Power of Christian Contentment, A Body of Divinity, Thomas Watson. I think that was one of the ones given to me by them. I walked away with so many books. And then there was the mother load. It was going to the Crossway table, the four large rectangle side table. They basically had a mile of Bibles. Let's just put it that way. And I zeroed in on the goatskin premium Bibles because I wanted to see one. See, last year, Steadfast Bibles came out with the Preacher's Bible, for the NASB Bible. And I, by the way, I got to see one of those. And yes, it's that heavy. Rich ain't joking. When he won that from Andrew and Striving for Eternity, that's a workout. Okay, you put that on the pulpit and you leave that there because that thing's heavy. But that's the first time I had heard about a goatskin leather Bible.
Well, the one that I was gifted from Andrew, there's no telling what he paid just to ship that thing to me because
it's a monster.
That thing. Seriously, I mean, even in the specs, like on Amazon or wherever you can find it, it listed out as shipping weight something like 7 pounds.
Oh yeah, I think they said the Bible itself is 6 pounds. So if you can include packaging material, cardboard, and all that, yeah, you're looking at about 7 pounds. So it's a 6 pound Bible. That thing's massive. So I zeroed in on Crossway's Bible table because I'm kind of addicted to the ESV. I'm sorry, folks. All my really cool and scholarly friends look down on me because I don't read the NASB. I read the ESV because I get it. One of these days I will spend some time in the NASB. I promise. Don't beat me with yours, please. but I zeroed in on theirs, and I came across two of their premium Bibles. They have a preaching Bible, not the preacher's Bible, a preaching Bible that they put out. And then they have another one that's one of their premium Bibles, and they are the goatskin leather. And hold on a second, where is it? Here it is. Okay, so I'm going to smell this for you on air because you can't. I now am the owner of a Crossway preaching Bible with the goatskin leather and the really nice pages. I don't know. See if you can hear this.
Thanks a bunch. As you sniffed that, I started coughing. So,
I don't know if you can hear that. That's the really nice pages, and it's the smell of the goat skin. So what happened was, the reason I now own this is, again, I have to talk nicely about Andrew Rappaport. I went down there with a certain amount of money, and one of the first places I went was that table. Now, these Bibles, the really premium goatskin one that had like multiple bookmarks and then the preaching Bible, they were cut down to 50% off. The preaching Bible that was normally $200. This was a $100 Bible now. There was another one that was slightly more expensive at $150. I could have bought one of those and it would have been a fantastic investment. But I wanted more books, so I was tossed. So I shared the information about trying to justify why. It's a joke. I've realized something with you people that listen to me. I can't tell you these things. I cannot share with you, ooh, I would love to get that, but. Because I'm tending to share it to put out for you guys to, hey, here's something you might benefit from, and jokingly kind of talking about how I'd love to get it, but. See, because then you do silly things like what Andrew did. The reason I own a Crossway ESV Preaching Bible is because Andrew, out of the kindness of his heart, bought it for me. And right now, I'm trying not to cry. I'm not kidding. I'm going to cherish that for a long time. Not just because it's a goatskin ESV Bible, but because a man who, for reasons I don't really understand, really likes me. I give him a lot of grief on air, and I give him a lot of grief on Twitter. But Andrew is a genuinely kind man. And he did that, along with some other things, while I was there, to make that experience special. Andrew, thank you. And I'm now failing at not crying. sorry, folks. So, it's not just the books. It's not just the great gift. The greatest thing that I can explain about Shepherd's Conference is there's a fellowship like no other. When men of God come together for the express purpose to be built up in His Word, so they can go back and serve all you people who are listening to this program. So if you had a pastor or an elder who went to that, thank you for letting them go. You bless them more than you can imagine. If you have a pastor who's never been able to go, I encourage you to let them and make it possible for them to do it. I can't explain what that was like. I got to meet some of you guys. And it's like I knew you all my life. Because we have that in common. We have that bond in Christ. Some of you really wanted to meet me. It was kind of weird. having people call me out. I was there 5 minutes early because we were trying to beat traffic to get there. And because Fred works, and so we got there really early. I was there 5 minutes, and Ken, you called me by name, and I'm like, huh? So who's calling me by name? And he calls out because he was following our road trip down, and he Ken on Twitter, he called me out by name. He's a pastor in LA, and like the really rough part of LA, so pray for him. And he wanted to meet me. I don't quite get why. I'll be honest. I struggle with this. Tony Miano used to want to beat me for this. I'm very self-deprecating because it's much easier to insult myself than worry about whether somebody's going to insult me. Maybe it's a side effect of working in the career I'm in. Maybe it's because I've been an introvert most of my life. It's easier to insult myself and knock myself down than worry about letting others do it for me. And so I tend to have a very low view of my influence. I tend to have a very narrow view of what I'm capable of because I also know I struggle greatly with pride. And I like being recognized. I like a pat on the back. I like people saying that they appreciate me or whatever. And so it's become a very good defense mechanism that I'm still struggling with. Some of you genuinely wanted to meet me, and I couldn't figure out why. Somebody said I actually had a powerful presence on social media. That one boggles my mind. Some of you told us how much you appreciate our show. One of you wants our show to have more exposure. I'm shocked, and I'm humbled in ways I can't explain. If you spent 5 minutes in my mind, you guys would run away screaming. you don't want to deal with what goes through my head. You don't want to see the dark sins that run through my mind. You don't know how much Rich puts more into the show than I do. You don't know how some days I've come in screaming, hoping that I could string together a coherent sentence because the week has been so busy. Or I was so stressed or frustrated with work and family life that if I didn't even sit down to consider how to write anything out for the show. And yet somehow, between the two of us, Rich and I put together a show that actually made sense and people liked. That's grace of God. And yet so many of you so many of you met me, thanked me, and encouraged me. See, that's the thing that I just can't explain about Shepherd's Conference. People were glad to meet each other. There was no competition. There was no looking at each other warily. Who are you? Why are you here? I am nobody from nowhere. I am not a pastor. I am not an elder. I am not even a deacon. I'm nowhere. I have no leadership in my church. And yet, I'm a guy with a podcast and an occasional blog article who's a bit of a loudmouth on Twitter. And every one of you shook my hand, hugged me, and were glad to see me there. That doesn't make sense in anything that the world has to offer. That the world cannot explain that. The world doesn't understand that. That's what heaven's going to be like, folks, in my mind. That sweet fellowship that you can't get anywhere else. And your pastors need that. Because if some podunk 20-year veteran of law enforcement, who occasionally can be consistent on a podcast, could walk away, walking on cloud nine, can you imagine what it was like for the young man that we met, who had no idea what Grace to You was? He had no idea what Grace Community Church was. He is a pastor in a war-torn country whose church, with the English initials, are GCC. He's from Myanmar. They stumbled across the internet, Grace Community Church, having a Shepherd's Conference, a conference for pastors. His pastor or his church pulled up the money to fly him from Myanmar to California to go to this pastor's conference. They wanted to equip him. He got here with $90 in his pocket. He had 80 when he had 10 when the taxi dropped him off at the hotel where he was going to stay. Men from the pastor's conference made sure that man didn't miss a meal, wasn't left by himself, was introduced to people, and they helped him get the books, they helped him get the things he needed. He heard John MacArthur speak for the very first time in his life at that conference. He looked at the guy that went with him there, with him in the car ride over and said, "Hey, that guy's good." That's Shepherd's Conference. That's what he was there for. He was there to be built up. And it wasn't about the names. And people brought him in and were with him and took care of him and made sure that he walked away equipped. Folks, you gotta send your pastors to this. At least once in their life. Rich, I've chattered like a monkey for the last 45 minutes, and I really wanted to get on to those articles by Tom Buck, but I think we're going to need to roll that over into next week. What do you think?
Sounds good to me, brother, because okay. I'm still sitting over here in the mute corner trying not to bust anybody's eardrums. But as we close out, we need to backtrack and talk a little bit about the contest and either just reveal the two winners, or if you want to read some of the entries, leaving it completely up to you. I give you my two picks in no particular order, so I pick your favorite. So you get to decide which gets which book. So okay. I'll leave that up to you.
Well, I think we'll flip a coin and then we'll ship them. I think that's how we'll figure that out. Because if we try
to book, but they don't know what
exactly. You guys are just going to get surprised. How about that? All right. So, some notable entries: Chris Yarza. While you did not win the Choose Some Grass with the GIF of the, yes, I said GIF. It's GIF. Don't get on me for saying it. It's not GIF. It's GIF. of the goat chewing his cud. That was rather interesting. I don't know that Rich wants to.
I missed that one.
Yeah, that was one of them. Let's see. Unfortunately, I didn't realize Get Well Rich was for a basketball player back in 2014 too. So I may have picked the wrong one. Let's see. Nahum O'Brien, a really interesting effort. His was the Benny Hinn "Be Gone With You Devil" gif. And you know, he's not recommending heresy. He just wanted books. So notable entry, sir. Sorry you didn't win. Jeff Payne, I actually rather liked his. Take a cup of hot tea, a teaspoon of lemon, a teaspoon of honey, and an ounce of whiskey. Pour out the tea, honey, and lemon down the drain, and drink the whiskey. So that was a rather good one. I actually thought that was kind of nice.
I couldn't decide whether they were serious or trying to make a joke. And
I'm not sure. I'm
just kind of leaving that up to question, even in my own mind. But
I admit it's points for creativity. And Anonymous, he who shall not be named. No. That you were banned from ever winning for the peanut butter jelly sandwich dipped in hot chicken noodle soup. That's just nasty. Dave Mitchell had the chicken tortilla soup, the spicier the better, to clean out your sinuses, and then lay on the couch watching old TV shows like Andy Griffith. Dave, how can you enjoy the show if it's spicy because you're just on fire? I would be in pain. I couldn't enjoy the show now. Daniel Harper had the chicken soup, tea with honey, and taking a hot shower. Let's see.
Well, me for now said Epsom salt baths in Star Trek alternate.
There
well,
was I that
like,
one.
I like Star Trek, but I have been watching Stargate, so I don't know if that counts.
I don't think the Trekkies would think it would be qualifying, but you know, I'm good with it. So. Okay, so those were some of our notable entries. Some of you were very creative, and like I said, some of you just don't follow instructions. So follow the instructions next time if you want to win something. So not that we'll be doing this very much. We don't get that kind of material to give out, but we'll try to do it again. So, so brother, I'm going to let you name the two winners, and then we're going to put out there that y'all need to listen to the show to figure out who the winners are. Because we're gonna be ornery that way, so we'll put to all you get well rich winners that you have to listen to the show to find out who won. How about that? So no, we won't be mean like that. We won't be mean. But anyway, so go ahead and tell us, Rich, who were the two winners and what their recommendations were.
Well, I'm trying to. I've got the first one, and like I said, this is in not a number one and number two order. It's just the way that I saved the screenshots, but. Old Calvinist said, do a few shots of apple cider vinegar and get some rest. That was in my top two, the shot of apple cider vinegar. That was pretty original. I never heard of that one before. And brother, forgive me. I've got the other one, but I can't find who posted it, but it'll be really easy to find.
I actually have it. I can give you the name.
Okay. Well, it was NyQuil Jell-O Squares, or as someone mean NyQuil Jell-O Shooters, but part of the party crowd, so we'll just call them NyQuil Jell-O Squares. That one was really original. I'd never even heard or seen or even remotely thought of doing that with medication before. So,
yeah, that would be our friend Rob McIver. He's if I'm right, Mr. McIver is Canadian. That might make shipping a little bit interesting. So we'll see what we can do to get that out to you. You two, our good friend Stephen Melnizen and Rob McIver, you are the winners of the books Ashamed of the Gospel and J.C. Ryle's Holiness. We can either let you guys death cage match it out, figure out who gets what, or we can flip a coin and figure it out for you. So, but we will get those out to you. Thank you guys for the prayers. Thank you guys for tuning in and being patient with us. Rich and I are talking over ways to make the show a bit more consistent so that you don't have those gaps, even if we just do a rewind and bring up an old show that maybe you haven't heard in a while. Or maybe you're somebody who hasn't tuned in at all and you haven't realized we've had over 2 years worth of shows.
I did some looking. Actually, I think If I'm not mistaken, next month is 3 years we've been doing this, brother.
My word, 3 years. Go ahead.
I was going to say, we're approaching our 100th episode of Voice of Reason. Did you realize that we were involved with something like 166 episodes of Cross Encounters Radio? So we've been doing Christian podcasts for quite a while.
Yeah, in some ways we feel like we're old hats at this, and in other ways we're still kind of the new kids on the block. So not the group that just, sorry, that was a really bad reference. Just totally dated myself.
Are they the Bomb Diggity too?
No, they don't even qualify as music. I'm sorry. And I just got in trouble with a lot of 90s kids for that.
I thank everyone that entered the little contest, because I appreciate the smiles and laughs and the suggestions, but mostly I appreciate the prayers for Chris and myself during what's been another difficult month. You know, we try to do this podcast consistently, but for whatever reason, you know, life always seems to get in our way. You know, we managed to have a stretch there to where we are able to put one out each week, and then we could kind of hit a bump in the road, and then we kind of get delayed for 2 or 3 weeks from unforeseen circumstances, and we try to get back on track. But like you said, Chris, we're looking at some ways of getting something to you each and every week.
Amen. Well, brother, I'm glad we could get back together. It was nice to hear your voice despite the strain that it's put on you. Folks, it's been just great getting back together with all y'all. It's funny, with 3 years kind of staring us down the gun barrel there, we've grown a little bit, but we fully appreciate each and every one of you guys that listen and encourage us and share with us. So thank you. Bald Calvinist, our good friend Stephen Melnison, Rob McIver, you're going to have to write to us at voiceofreasonradio@gmail.com. I almost messed up the email address. voiceofreasonradio@gmail.com. And we will get your address information, and hopefully within the next week, I will try to get those out to you. So I will do my very, very best. So thank you for being with us. Thank you for spending your time with us. Pray for your pastors. Equip them with all the resources you can. And if you could never get them to a Shepherd's Conference, because it's not always something that's feasible, then do everything you can to equip them and encourage them, please. And let them know how appreciated their work is. If you have a faithful pastor who preaches the word every week, then you have a great gift of God. That's something I learned about. I learned from Shepherd's Conference. Appreciate that. Pray for him. Take care of him. And we will see you guys next time. God bless. Good night. We'll see you then.